Matthew Hayden. Run Machine.
Oh, beautiful.
Gourmet Chef. Fierce opponent. Holds the Aussie record for the highest test score of 380.
That is the world record.
He can also milk a cow. Mark Waugh. Stroke maker. Aussie selector. Great catch.
Oh, what a catch!
Held the world record for the most test catches by a non-wicketkeeper. Now, he's a horse whisperer. Graham Swan. The Palm. Master of spin, rock and roller. The first English spinner to take 50 wickets in a calendar year.
First wicket to that man, Swan.
Loves a pint and never leaves his house without his lucky pants. Legends on the field.
Yeah.
But let's see how they go on the radio. Welcome to Willow Talk.
Well, here we go, boys. It is the first show. It's Willow Talk. I think they've got us going for about 13 weeks on this show. Outstanding work. Mark Junior War is here. Matthew Hayden, Haydos, and Graham Swan, Swanee. Welcome. I'm
Gents.
Byron. I'm going to try and hold this show together.
Thank you very much.
Here we go. We're on.
We're on, Haydos. Swanee, good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Well, you can see you as well,
powers
mate.
Of radio, yeah.
Yeah,
looking forward to it. It's going to be a great period, hey? This is a very exciting little start-up here, the Ashes. Ready to get right into it.
Now, we're all linked up, obviously. We obviously got the Aussie home base. Swanee will join us. He'll be following the cricket right around for all of the test matches, so it'll be great to have him down the line.
Will he have a hanky on his head or something like that? You know, the way they do in the summer over there?
It is ridiculously hot over here at the moment. It reached 37 degrees yesterday. Eat that, Australia. So we're 1-0 Friday.
Jeez, very hot.
You will be collapsing, you guys over there.
Oh, dropping dead like flies, they'll be. Yeah.
Apart from extremely bad coffee, do you also have showers over there as well at the stage? Or?
Hey, come on, we're not New Zealand. We're England.
Now, obviously we're going to be keeping a very close eye on the Ashes as we go through. We have the first test starting in Wales on Wednesday. But along with that, there will be some fun segments. What do you reckon is the most fun? Stumping Mark Waugh in a little segment we call Stump Junior is fun. His knowledge of cricket isn't necessarily as good as you'd hope, is it, guys?
Well, his knowledge, full stop, is that...
Who told you that, Cookie? You just made that up, or...
Well, we'll see. Time will tell, because we're going to play in the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes
I'm
of the show.
A selector.
Yeah, but that's nothing.
And a commentator.
Yeah. So what?
I've got half a brain. I'm not a fast bowler.
You're a middle order.
You're a loopy spinner.
You're a middle order player and you bowled a few overs, didn't you? Centre of the wicket, you used to test out a bit, the old bumper.
Cookie, I take offence to that comment that I'm...
You'll have the chance to prove me wrong soon.
I would like to as well.
Okay, you can tell he's quite competitive. Swanee's wrongen will be something else we do. Now, Swanee's wrongen is where he throws in the equivalent of wrongen, the different character voices he can do. And believe it or not, this guy has a talent. It's like working with someone from Disney or something. He puts on all these crazy voices. He's very,
no
very
pressure
good.
Whatsoever.
Very good. No, there's not, but you are pretty good, G-Man. I've listened to you for way too long.
Because you two turkeys played together, didn't you, in England?
We did. Had many happy years with Matt Hayden as our angry captain.
So when it was rained out, your impressions came to the fore, Swanee?
Not really. When it was rained out, I used to try and avoid Matt Hayden because he could beat me up very easily.
Physically, I actually was just quite out of my angry league. Then too, just quietly.
Swanee, can we just have a little taste of just one of your voices? Don't give away who it is, but just for a little preview of what to expect later in the show.
I can't wait to do a few of my voices.
Is it whispering Ted Lowe from the snooker?
So is it a bit early in the morning?
I don't think it was a cricketer.
It definitely was. You'll hear him later.
Okay. Up next, we'll run through both sides, Australia and England. This is Willow Talk with Junior, Haydos and Swanee. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden. Guys, first test starts on Wednesday. We want to look at both squads, and we obviously have an Australian selector in our midst here, guys. Mm. Let's discuss the Australian side going into that first test.
Yeah, look, Cookie, it's a very strong squad, and the biggest problem for the selectors is who to leave out, which is always a good problem to have. They're coming off, you know, two good wins in the West Indies, a couple of warm-up games against Kent and Essex, which, you know, very mediocre opposition, but I guess that...
They bowl underarm, those guys.
Yeah.
Well, let's put that into perspective, though. It is a second division of the county championship, and they're also the bottom of the table in that as well. So how much do you actually, as selectors, you know, put that into context? I mean, Mitchell Marsh, you know, is right amongst the runs, but can you really sort of, on balance and on paper, really weigh that up?
Well, I mean, the opposition is poor. The bowling is club standard. It's not going to resemble anything like the test match. But, I mean, you can tell if players are in form and out of form. You know, you'd like to see players get runs, even though it's weak opposition. So most of the batsmen have got runs. You know, they've all look pretty good, especially Marsh and Watson there in the middle. You know, Smith got 100 in Kent. Now Rogers and Marsh at the top have all got runs, so it's actually probably confused things more. They've basically all done well. I mean, the question marks for the first test are, you know, who opens with Warner? Is it Rogers or Sean Marsh? Then that number six spot, you've got Mitchell Marsh or Shane Watson. And then the fast bowlers, I guess Ryan Harris, you know, that injury cloud made that a lot easier. Yeah. You know, I'd imagine he's probably not going to be right. So it's sort of, there's a couple of spots there that they're up for grabs.
I like the stability, June, I've got to say. Like, Chris Rogers, for mine, always just does enough to get him, make his way back into the side. I just want to see him really step it up this series, because to me, if he doesn't, then you've got to make way for a younger player, a little bit more ambitious, to try and like drive the result forward and to give Davey Warner a long-term partner as well. He's at that age where he needs the stability at the top, Davey Warner. We can't just expect him week on, week out to be averaging 50, you know, without a really concrete opening partner. You've got Voges in the middle as well, who's just off the back of 100, so it's unlikely that his name's under question. And then the stability around Watto. I just think that this is a big series. He's got to play. I know there's a lot of talk about him, as there was ahead of the World Cup as well, not playing and giving away for Mitch Marsh. But we saw how backing him at this stage of his career can really make a huge impression on an opposition side. He's got the experience and the ability in England.
Swanee, what about from an English perspective? Do you think this is almost deliberate for the Australians to play such garbage county teams so that they don't find any form? I mean, why do we play such garbage teams? Why don't we play some decent teams?
Well, you could argue that it's pretty much tit for tat these days, because the last couple of tours England have been on, they've played garbage opposition before the first test as well. It's just the way it is. There aren't that many teams these days who are willing to put out a full strength side with the amount of county cricket going on. You don't want your overseas players to play. You don't want your big guns to get injured. And so, you know, a lot of young lads, a lot of guys who normally play second team end up playing against the test team. So that's just the way it is. Gone are the days of, you know, four proper hard first class games before the first test. And that's the same for any team. So it's not a tactic from the England and Wales Cricket Board.
You know, 93, I reckon, was basically the last tour where players were playing lots and lots of first class cricket as a touring side to England. Since that time, with the way that the formats of the games have pushed players into actually playing less domestic cricket and more international cricket, have we seen those kind of scheduling issues? And I think it's been a big problem for Australia. England is a place where you've really got to get some significant runs or wickets under the belt, because the conditions are very different from Australia.
I'll tell you how it's changed. The 89 tour, I actually missed out on that tour. So I was actually playing for Essex. I played against Australia in a tour match. So we pretty much had a full strength side, Essex.
Well, look at that. That's an outstanding opposition. Mark Waugh, having a face off against Mark Waugh.
Well, who was in that side, June? That would have been a great side.
Oh, we had Gucci. I don't know if Gucci played. Derek Pringle, Neil Foster, Paul Pritchard, Nasser Hussain.
No, Slouchers.
How many more do you want me to reel off?
Well, that'll anyway. Do. Yeah, that'll do.
And how many more
just
can you
as a little side story, I happen to get 100 too.
Oh,
boy, so. Thank you very much.
It's waiting. It's the
it
only
always
reason.
Comes back to June, doesn't it, Beauty?
Just thought he might bring that up. Now, guys, coming up after this, we do want to run through the English side, but with the help of a Welshman who played 18 tests for England, given the first test is in Cardiff, Simon Jones will join us next. But just a word of warning for all of our Australian listeners, which is most of us, you probably won't understand a word this bloke says. He's got the strong Welsh accent, doesn't he, Swanee?
Yeah, he does, yeah. I mean, we struggle as well down here, but, you know.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll try and work it out, and he will join us next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk. You got Mark Waugh, Graham Swan, and Matthew Hayden, with the first test starting in Wales, Cardiff on Wednesday. The international resources of Willow Talk have managed to track down a Welshman who played 18 tests for England, including a 2005 Ashes series, where this man in the second test dismissed a cocky Matthew Hayden from memory, got him very nicely. Simon Jones. Simon Jones is on the line, guys.
Morning, Jones. You okay?
Hey, Jonah. How you doing, pal?
Are you boys right?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Listen, I'm going to jump in first, because these Aussies, you know, they're not great at stuff like this. But there was an article in the paper in England yesterday that an extract from your book saying, before your first test match, you had 7 pints of Continental Lager in the bar. I want to know two things. Firstly, how relieved were you when you were batting first? And secondly, what were you doing having an early night by your standards?
Oh, mate, when NASA won the toss, I was so happy. Honest to God, I just sat in the changing room and just sang my sleep for like 3 or 4 hours.
But that wasn't a real test match, was it? It was against another nation, not Australia.
Yeah, I was only bowling to Tendulkar and Dravid and Laxman. So.
Yeah, ordinary side, Jonah.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. I was absolutely, dropped my shopping basically, so I'm nervous the night before the test match. But Craig White came on to me and said, do you fancy a couple of beers in the bar? One turned into two, and then two turned into seven or eight, and then went to bed with a bit of a dodgy
stagger on.
And woke up in the morning regretting, yeah, had a little bit of stagger on. But, yeah, it helped me sleep anyway.
You bowlers, you love to count. But one of the things, Jonah, that I noticed during the 2005 series was just how different your fast bowling unit looked. Steve Harmison, Matthew Hoggard, Andrew Flintoff. For the first time, I really felt like you had a genuine rapport with each other. You're real brothers in arms. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, massively. We went on Rod Marsh's first academy, and Swanee was there as well in 2001. And that's where myself, Freddie, and Harmy really got together. We played a lot of cricket. We worked hard. You know, we got absolutely beasted in the gym by Rod and Crouchy. And you can't help but build up a kind of friendship that you can battle through anything. But the key was that we all offered different options to Volney. And I think that's the key in any test match is you need options when the going gets tough. But when I look at the England attack now, it's been quite similar to where we were. You know, Matthew Wood and Mark Wood has come in. He's done an awesome job so far. So he's got a different option to the team. And then obviously Jimmy, he's just ridiculously good.
Yeah.
Stuart Broad is starting to find his feet. And then you got Ben Stokes, who brings the fire. You know, he bowled in the 3 or 4 over spins and let him go.
Yeah, Jonesy, I noticed in a recent article you said that this squad of bowlers is as good as the 2005. So that's a fair sort of standard to live up to. Who do you think is going to be the major force for the England bowling lineup in this series?
I think, obviously, there's a hell of a lot of pressure on Jimmy all the time. He's had to carry the burden of that attack for a long, long time. My big thing for this Ashes series is Mark Wood. I think he's going to come good. If he can stay for the 5 tests, I think he'll have a real good summer. And you know, he really worries the Aussies because he offers something different that the other bowlers don't.
He's given a bit of lip too, isn't he, for a young bloke?
Yeah.
He's given Watto a bit of lip.
I know, I'm enjoying that. I'm really enjoying that, actually. It's always nice to get stuck into Aussies, yeah.
Very quickly, Jonesy, this is our weekly question thanks to Flight Centre. You've got to be prepared and book early at flightcentre.com.au. It's all about preparation. Any quirky preparation habits for you going into a test match?
The only preparation
7 points.
Was not to sit next to Matthew Hoggard.
Not to sit next to Matthew Hoggard. There we go.
Yeah, absolute best. Just avoid him like a plague.
Excellent.
A bit like Haydos.
So there we go. He's a Welshman, and we are firing up for that first test in Wales, in Cardiff, on Wednesday. And just quickly, how did you get Matt Haydon out in the second test in 2005? From memory, he thinks he might have been hooking.
No. I was reversing it into him, and I went away from him and said, it's a superb catch. And then I got flying for sending him off.
So, yeah, quite right.
How can you get fined for sending off Matthew Haydon?
Simon Jones is our guest. Thanks very much to Jonesy.
Thanks for the memories, Jonah.
This is Willow Talk.
Good on you, mate.
With Junior, Haydos and Swanee. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Junior Waugh, Matty Haydos Haydon and Graham Swanee Swan. This is Byron Cook. And welcome to Stump Junior. Look, this is fun. This is where Graham Swan will be armed with 5 cricket trivia questions and will attempt to stump Junior, whose cricket knowledge is a little disappointing, it would be fair to say, guys.
What are you talking about, Cookie?
I've heard it's fairly legendary.
You've been listening to Haydos too much, Cookie.
Well, we'll see. We'll know in about 2 minutes whether or not we're right.
Well, the good thing is, because I've got 5 questions in front of me here, and it is a kind of a mastermind situation, which is, you know, you're very comfortable with the English, but maybe a bit of an alien concept to Aussies. But
mate,
we'll go with it anyway.
It.
We'll see how we get on. There's lots of long words, Junior. Just don't get clammy palms. Be very confident. Number one, even one of the War Brothers should be able to get this. The original urn containing the ashes is actually never presented to the winning team. Where is it kept under lock and key?
That's an easy single, that surely, June.
That's enough from you, mate.
You're not that bright, but you get this
it's
one.
Either, I'd say it's either in Australia or England.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say, if it was in Australia, it'd be at the MCG, but it's not. So I reckon it's at Lord's, the home of cricket. Has to be.
Oh, beautiful.
Ding. Correct. He's hit that beautifully.
Mate, if he was in Australia, they'd absolutely blow up. Remember the last time there was even mentioned the Poms are all over us like a cheap suit, like one of your suits, actually.
you don't even know what a suit looks like. All you've got is board shorts and thongs up in Queensland.
That's right.
Anyway, Swanee, is that the best one you've got for me? Come on.
No, that was your teaser. That was your short one off the hip to get off the mark. This is a long half volley, second ball. Who has taken the most wickets since the Ashes started?
Oh, that's a bit tougher. Mm. So this can come from either team, obviously. For England, who have we got? Someone like a Bobby Willis or an Anderson, Botham, even a Graham Swanee got a few wickets. It's
not as many as this fella.
Surely it's got to be an Aussie. It's got to be McGrath or Warne, I'd reckon.
Mm. Well, come on. Mate. We haven't got all day. Spit it out, Jumbo.
Mate, it was a quick segment.
I'm going Shane Warne.
Shot. Oh, beautiful.
Well played.
Too easy.
He's on fire.
Right, number three. Right, if you don't get this, you're probably going to be deported, sent to Tonga or something. Which side has been the most successful in the Ashes?
Which side has been the most successful in the Ashes?
Oh, it's not a no-brainer.
50-50, isn't it? Well, I mean, the
correct.
The Poms have pegged us back slightly in the last 14 years in England. During my time and Haydos's time, I dare say we weren't
some easy
on the receiving end too often from a hiding from the Poms. Easy pickings, Haydos?
Easy pickings, all Jumbo. Right.
Sounds like Curtly Ambrose, not Matthew Hayden, as he used to say. I would say Australia. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Well played. He's playing well. He's seen three deliveries.
I've surprised
he was always
you,
good early.
Junior, number four, and this is where it gets tricky. We're pulling it out of the bag. I dare say you're not getting this right.
No,
in 1882, can you name the Englishman who led the winning side to win the Ashes back? We're talking 1882. The Englishman who led the winning side to win the Ashes back. And for an extra point, what was his official title?
Oh, 1882. I don't even know anyone that old. The only player I know of that
for good reason
that ilk is WG Grace. So he is the only one I can possibly think of. So I'm going to say him, but I'm probably wrong.
You're out.
Got him, yes.
Gone.
Yes.
Gone.
Wrong. Swanee. You're joking.
Swanee, WG Grace was not the correct answer. What was, please?
The answer was Ivo Bly. And I'm pretty sure that's Captain Ivo Bly.
There we go. Captain Ivo Bly.
I had no hope there. Haydos, did you know that one?
No, don't be silly.
No, he doesn't know. 1882.
Australia wasn't founded then, was it? The biscuit thieves were still on the boats on the way over.
Final question, and let's see if we can stump him one more time, Swanee.
I think we will do as well. In what year did the famous streaker Michelangelo jump over the stumps at Lords? That's the famous streaker Michelangelo.
I thought he's a painter.
Oh, painter.
Sculpture?
Yes, June.
What year? I reckon in the 70s or the 80s, because I can't really... Nah, I don't know. I'm going to guess this.
Yeah, okay.
Have a stab in
77.
Dark.
Got him, yes.
Out. Got him? Does that mean I'll get it?
No, you're out. You're stumped. It was 1975.
Off,
he doesn't even know the wrong
one. Swanee couldn't get me stumped twice, surely.
So there we go.
Not unless
Junior,
you're left-handed.
He was stumped twice there in five
what
deliveries.
What year was it, did you say?
It was, in fact, 1975.
Oh, two off.
Yeah, not good enough, mate.
He stripped off to win a £20 bet, apparently, in 1975 for some Aussie fans who were joking with him in the stands. So there we go. Stump Junior. Be back next week. There's an only way.
Three out of five. Is that respectable, Cookie?
Solid. I reckon. Haydos, how do we feel about it?
Yeah, good, I reckon. Good start.
Thanks, Haydos. Thanks, Swanee, for the questions too, mate.
I thought you were excellent. Well played.
I thought it was too.
Okay, good. Thanks. Stuff. Hey, coming up, a little segment we call Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. And this is where you three share your inner secrets, things that we just wouldn't believe about professional cricketers on the air. And the person that goes deepest is rewarded.
That'd be Haydos, because he's deep.
That is coming up on Willow Talk.
And dopey.
You're listening to Willow Talk. We'll be here at this time every week, right through the Ashes. We've got that first test on Wednesday in Cardiff. Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden are in the house. It's time for Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. Now, guys, this is where each of you tell a story. And as cricket fans, we get to listen in on the story and go, wow, I can't believe that would have happened. The most revealing story, the one that digs deepest.
The one that social media doesn't touch. No photographs.
I'm under,
or behind closed doors.
Yeah, now obviously it can't get us sued. That's the only thing we ask, guys. Okay. But anyway, other than that, have a crack, have an absolute go, and whoever tells the most revealing story holds the crown each week. Who is going to open the innings? What about Mark Waugh?
Well, it's hard to go first because then they can gauge.
Just get on with it, mate.
You know, who's the beat? Which is the story to beat? Anyway, I'll go first.
Good boy.
And it's Not going to be that good, I don't think. But anyway, well, just on the Jason Gillespie sort of bandwagon, he's been in the news a bit lately, hasn't he? Dad's I actually army. Roomed with him for 2 weeks straight in India. Don't know why. I was there for 2 weeks, roomed with one guy. But anyway, I roomed with Jason Gillespie for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Now, yep. He was a youngster on tour, so first time in India, and a little bit sheepish about, you know, eating the local cuisine and, you know, just expanding his food at night and during the
was
day.
Was he more sheepish than you when it came to sort of getting his towel off around the shower? I'm not sure.
Right. You'll get your story in a minute.
Well, I'm just saying.
I wish you kept your towel on and look at your body.
Okay.
Anyway, it's my go, Joe. But here's something that you do not know.
Right.
Jason Gillespie, every day, 3 meals a day, he ordered the same food and the same drink.
Which
have a
was?
Guess. Have a guess what it would be.
Pizza and chips.
You're in India.
Curry and chips.
Not in Lancashire.
Just rice and a lassi. There you go.
A lassi? A
Coke.
A mango lassi. Lassi.
No, this is what he had. This is his order. Room service. He's a good guy too. Simple guy. I'll have a plain omelette, well done, and a very cold can of Coke. That's what he had, three times a day. So there is something you did not know.
This is a good segment, other than that it's not actually about you.
I
thought it was about you.
No, Jason.
Tell me something, we didn't know.
You're an idiot. Your stories could involve others. That was within the rules of tell me something we didn't know. I mean, whether it was interesting and revealing, time will tell.
In that case then, tell me something.
It doesn't have to be about yourself, does it?
No.
Well,
learn the rules, Haydos.
Okay, well.
Your go.
Well, okay, it's about you then.
Good, all right. So, Haydos is about you, Junior.
Oh, okay.
I have never, ever seen Mark War completely naked in a dressing room, and I played how many games?
Well, I did get naked.
Are we going there? Is this where we're going?
Well, no, I'm just saying it's unusual, Graham. You would have thought, like, you would have a shower at the end of the day.
I know. I've seen him completely naked on 4 or 5 occasions.
I never ever saw
I didn't know
a shower in the dressing room ever.
I didn't know. That's I had to strange, tell you I'm going thought. To have a shower. I didn't. I can't really remember looking at you much either.
No, because you were never there. I don't reckon you had a shower. I don't think Mark wore showers. There you go. That's my tell me something I didn't know.
Okay, good.
No, well, that's not true, so I can answer that.
Swanee, bring it home, please. I reckon you'll win
that's
here.
A poor story.
If we're getting stuffed into everyone, I've been through most of my stories, and they are all libelous, but I've got one about Haydos. When Matt Hayden was captain of Northamptonshire Cricket Club, he was... this is back in the day when I used
absolute
to play.
Absolute rabble, you lot.
And we used to have to turn up in full shirt and tie every day. And Haydos just really yanked his chain. And, you know, he said, what's the point? You put it on for 5 minutes, you come on the ground, you have to take it off again. It's rubbish. And so he decided, says, right, from now on, you can wear what you like as long as there's something to do with the club on your uniform when you come in. And the next day, turned up in a pair of Brisbane Broncos shorts, a Queensland cricket wife-beating vest, a Northamptonshire sunny hat, a little bobble sun hat that he'd bought from the shop, a little kiddie's hat, and thongs. That was our captain, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest man who's ever played county cricket.
Mate, and what about Stephen Coverdale as well, who was the CEO?
Oh, my God, Hayden, what are you wearing?
What a criminal. Look at him.
You know, I actually did the same thing at Essex. Same stupid rules at Essex.
Overrated, isn't it?
And I got it changed where you could wear jeans to the ground.
Listen, if we wanted to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever,
we'd have gone
enough.
To school.
Okay. You go to school, you'd wear a suit.
Rather than guns
to the net. And your story is rubbish, Haydos.
Okay, here we go. No, well, excuse me, Junior. You're not the judge of this. I am.
Correct.
I'm Mr. Impartial. I'm the voice of the listener over here, Byron. And I would like to give this, in fact, because it was, if revealing is a criteria, I thought Haydos' story about never seeing Mark War naked has to win this week.
Thank you. Oh,
you're an idiot too,
Thank
Cookie.
You.
He's made it up.
Congratulations. Matthew Hayden is the reigning champion going into next week, so you'll have to step things up, Swanee, as will you, Junior.
Or bring right. things down.
Okay,
well,
I'm just going to make up some sort of story next week.
Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark War, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. Now, coming up, guys, we're going to get a couple of journos representing both the Aussie and English perspectives. Do the players hang out with the cricket writers much? Are they pretty cool guys?
Well, Haydos used to, I think, but generally speaking, you take a wide berth from the journos on tour.
No, I didn't. I thought the journos were all right, Gene. give them a break.
No, that is. Hang out with them.
Yeah, I mean, they're good blokes. I mean, they've got a right of their thing, and it's not always positive. I know you only like to be told how good you are, but
you're a Fennecombe suck.
You're really good, Mark. There you go. That's
well, they never used to say that, so why hang out with them?
All right, brilliant. Paper.
Well, this will be fun. Robert Craddock, who is Australia's premier cricket writer, he will be one, and in the other corner, it will be Lawrence Booth, the English author and cricket writer, who is even the editor of Wisden's Cricketer's Almanac. That is coming up, as well as Swanee's Wrongin. Swanee, that will be where you get to show off your character voices. What a talent you have.
Oh, indeed. I've got one for us, and I'm not sure the boys are going to get it, because I'm not sure one of our panellists will have even heard this bloke speak before, but we'll wait. Right.
Yeah, because the way it works is Junior and Haydos will try and work out which character Swanee is portraying. So that is coming up as well on Willow Talk.
Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh, Graham Swan, legends on the field. But let's see how they go on the radio. This is Willow Talk.
Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan, this is Willow Talk. Now, coming up, boys, we've got these two journos, the Aussie Robert Crash Craddock and the Brit Lawrence Booth. What's making headlines? We need a scandal. We need a saga leading into an Ashes series. So these guys, it's their job to create these headlines,
well,
right?
Well, there's always some sort of drama in the Ashes. So far it's been quiet, though, but there's been a bit of chit-chat between the players in the papers, a bit of sledging there. So I'm sure they'll come up with something, these two boys.
All right, we're going to put them on together so maybe they can have an argument between each other. Anyway, it's coming up on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. Guys, journos. We know how much you players love a journo. That's why we thought we'd put two journos on at once. We have one from the Australian side of things, Robert Craddock, Australia's premier cricket writer, and Lawrence Booth, author and cricket writer for the Daily Mail, representing the English side of things. They are both on the line, guys.
Crasher, this must be the best time of year for you. You must be just loving sitting down at your copy paper and just having a crack. What do you reckon? You going to hop straight into the Poms here or what?
Well, Graham Swan's done it for me by baiting Steve Smith and saying he's got a farmhouse technique and won't be a force. So we've loved seizing on that. And what I'm enjoying, Haydos, the temperature rising. You can feel it.
Literally.
Mitchell Johnson saying, I want to be a bully boy again. Brad Haddon saying the sledging war will be on. And I sense, mate, there's a few themes left to be explored, such as stirring up their spinner, Moeen Ali, who's just sort of snuck through the radar. I reckon if Mark Waugh was playing in this series, hello, Mark.
Hey, Crash.
Saying things like, I don't rate this bloke, you know, I don't reckon he can bowl. That's what I reckon you'd have said 20 years ago, Mark.
possibly, Crash, but I've settled down now. I wouldn't say it now, but I'm worried about our team more than theirs, but who's going to miss out? But no, looking forward to it, Crash, and England, they've played well against us, the last 14 years over there, so we can't take them too lightly.
No, and the other interesting one, I think from a newspaper angle, which could come up, what sort of wickets are England going to dish up? Now, there's a bit of a theory amongst the press corps that it could be one of two types that give England a chance. The green wicket, which makes it a lottery, or the absolutely flat wicket, which gives everyone a chance, you know? But anything in between that, and there's a feeling amongst the press that Australia's got their measure. Your thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, it sounds pretty much like the press to me. It's either going to be a green seamer or a flat one. Well done, the press. Well worked out.
Hey, guys, speaking of press, Swanee, I know, obviously, from the English point of view, also on the line is Lawrence Booth, the cricket writer for the Daily Mail.
Yeah, Lawrence, look, help me out here. Look, These Aussies, they're all cock-a-hoop. They think they're the bee's knees. Their record in England in the last three series has been absolutely atrocious. England are on a roll because of the one-day series and all the good feeling. We're going to stuff them, aren't we?
You're clutching at straws too then, Swanee. I like it. I think it's going to be tricky, isn't it? I mean, you know, what pictures we're going to produce for a start. I mean, 2 years ago when you were in the team, it seemed an obvious way to go to produce those dry tracks. And it kind of worked, didn't it? Even though it was quite a traditional cricket at times. This time, we're not sure where England, is there any part of the game where they've got the edge over Australia? I'm not sure there is. I mean, the worrying thing is that the most telling blow that's been landed on these Australians so far has been by an Aussie, Jason Gillespie, calling them Dad's Army. You know, I think that's been the best sledge that's come out so far. The rest of us haven't really been able to land a finger on them. There's been Mark Wood saying a couple of things about Shane Watson, how he wants to bump in because Watson called him a net hero about 6 years ago in Durham. We called him that the other day. We're doing our best, but really I think that there is an acceptance here that Australia
beginner's favourites. I know that's not what, you know, a Daily Mail...
It's good old English pessimism by the sounds of it.
Players and media, all they're worried about in England are the pitches and the balls. What type of balls they're going to use. Don't they hate us? That's all they talk about all the time. Forget about the bloody pitch. It's the same for both sides. It'll be a good pitch.
Well, I'll tell you one reason that everyone's missing the mark by a country mile on this Ashes. You look at the Aussie, the batting lineup, which is more or less, there's obviously the odd difference, more or less the same Aussie batting lineup that played in 2013 on slow, dry pitches. There'll be slow, dry pitches again in England. There's no way the groundsman can produce anything else these days, I'm afraid, unless they're wet on day one, which they won't be. That Aussie batting lineup did not score many runs. They couldn't handle the swinging ball. They couldn't handle it when it reverse swung as well. So there's no reason why that batting lineup should be viewed all of a sudden as a great team.
Yeah, but you were playing Swanee.
No, but it wasn't me getting them all. Well, I was getting Rogers out all the time, but it was
number 11.
It was the seam. It was Stuart Broad who was causing so many problems to Watson, to Haddin, to Clark, to Smith. The same guys are going to be bowling at the same blokes again. So I don't see why this Australian team is viewed so as if they've suddenly become world beaters when they're not.
This is getting heated here. We'll take a quick break on Willow Talk because it's about to explode in here. We've got Robert Craddock on the line, Australia's premier cricket writer. We've got Lawrence Booth representing the English side of things with the Daily Mail. We'll come back, guys. Let's just all take a deep breath.
Okay.
And we'll dig a little deeper next on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan and Byron Cook here. If you've just tuned in, look, this is interesting because we've got Robert Craddock, Australia's premier cricket writer. He's on one phone. And then Lawrence Booth, who on the English side of things, an author and cricket writer for the Daily Mail, also the editor of Wisden's Cricketer's Almanac. Now, it's game on here, boys. There's plenty of rivalry between both players and journos, Haydos.
Well, Crasher, just let's start with the Australian side for a start, because for mine, there's probably three decisions that are going to be made here. One of them is Ryan Harris that's been made pretty much for us. Then you've got your all-rounder position and your opening position, two key positions within the Australian lineup. What's your take on who's going to play within those two roles? Is it Sean Marsh or Chris Rogers, or is it Shane Watson and Mitch Marsh?
Well, first up, I'm a real Rogers man for this series. I just think, if only because of what he does for Warner, he for some reason, they're the two oddest couple you've ever seen. I mean, Rogers looks like an accountant and bats like an accountant, whereas and you've got Madhouse Dave, but they just work together. He's straight in. I mean, Sean Marsh, I think he's still averaging 38 in first-class cricket. He's only ever played one game in England, ever. I mean, Rogers has lived there. He's in for mine. The other one is desperately tight. Look, I like this about Shane Watson, the fact that he averages about 43 in England. His little grubby medium paces just sort of work there, even though he doesn't take wickets. But and like everyone's talking about, you know, Mitchell Marsh got a great century against Essex, but their attack was open by Jesse Ryder, the New Zealander. You know, who's nobody's Jimmy Anderson, is he? So,
no.
Oh, look, that one could go either way. So it's a tight call, the future and the present. But what I do know, after this series, with other series against Bangladesh and the West Indies coming up, that's time for Mitchell Marsh then, categorically, if not sooner. Very sadly, Ryan Harris will be ruled out. And a question mark over his future, which is, you know, what a warrior he's been. He's got the same number of wickets from the same number of tests as Glenn McGrath had. 113 wickets from 27 tests. That's all you need to know about Harris, but sadly, it could be all over.
Hey, Crasher, I mean, these days, the journos don't rove like you used to. You used to have a full group that would travel around with the touring side. Do you miss it, mate? And do you have like a favourite memory of travelling to England and experiencing all the different grounds around England?
Yeah, and I used to love some of the crazy little things that happened. I remember once Haydos visiting Somerset on that 93 tour when you were there, and the tradition was that the captain had to get a warbleberry pie from the owner of a little hotel near the ground, because back when Lindsay Hassett was playing, a warbleberry ply was used for him when he was sick and got him back to health. So this little lady shuffles in. Where's Alan? Alan Border? Are you Alan Border? No, I'm Jeff Marsh. That's Alan over there. Oh, Alan, here's your Warbleberry pie. Oh, how lovely. You know, it's that sort of crazy.
I have never heard of that ever, Crash. And I was there in 93. Oh,
wow, these wild tours with Warbleberry pies. You guys are just... that's news to just, me. That's the thug life, isn't it? Wow.
I suppose I have my head in the form guide.
Swanee, we do obviously have Lawrence Booth on the English side of things with the Daily Mail on the line as well. Do we need to cover off on any English selection issues with Lawrence?
Well, I think, first of all, Lawrence, have you ever heard of a Warbleberry pie? Because I've not. Is that just a weird Somerset thing?
I think someone's been out there.
Yeah.
That sounds like
Crash,
a
Crash, you've been laid down a garden path there, Crash. No, but, Lawrence, when we look at the English team, I think it virtually picks itself, doesn't it? Lythe, Cook, Bell, Root, Balance, Stokes, Butler, Ali, Broad, Wood, Anderson. They're, those who can write quickly would have got that down. But I mean, the big one for me is Gary Balance. Massive position, batting number three. Should Ian Bell be batting number three, where he actually... in my mind, he should bat, but he doesn't want to. And B, is Balance going to get any of that form back that he had last year that made him look so rock solid that seems to have deserted him?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Sonny. I mean, you know, there's a big feeling that maybe both those two should swap positions. Bell's lost the vice-captaincy recently. He didn't look the same, did he, against New Zealand, poking around. He fell away in the West Indies, began with a big 100 in Antigua and then 11 runs in four innings after that. Maybe pushing him back to three would give him that sense of responsibility that I think he needs. And Balance at three, goodness me, against New Zealand. But he was nicking half volleys for third slip. He was that deep in his crease. He was playing French cricket at times, and I just think if Stark and Johnson are swinging the ball, he's basically putting his bat there and hoping it hits it. You know, Rashid's in the squad, the leg spinner, that's an interesting one. Bayliss said he wants to give himself a chance of seeing whether it's going to turn a card. If it's not going to, is it? I don't think.
What about Alistair Cook? What sort of form is he in? And as captain, I think we might see a bit more of an aggressive tone, given that Trevor Bayliss likes that in his team to play for a win and take a few risks. So is that going to happen with Alistair Cook? And is he batting well enough to be a force in this series?
Well, he's certainly batting well enough. He's just got his old game back where he leaves it alone outside off stump and he gets the bowlers to go straighter at him, and then he can pick them off. He did it really well in the last two tests in the Caribbean. Finally got his first 100 for 2 years in Barbados, and then batted really well against New Zealand at 9-hour 160 at Lords, which actually... He was a platform around which, you know, Stokes and Root could play their strokes. And that is a crucial factor for England. If Cook is scoring runs and driving the Aussies mad by leaving everything outside off stump, that's a huge thing. Whether his captaincy is going to be adventurous, I don't know. You know, it's pointless comparing him with Michael Clarke. It was pointless comparing him with Brendan McCullum. These are the guys who make things happen on the field. Alistair's not that kind of a captain.
All right, guys. So we could obviously talk all day with Robert Crash Craddock and Lawrence Booth. We'll leave them both there and we'll all enjoy some Warbleberry pie.
as good story, Crash.
As soon as possible. Outstanding work. Coming up, it is Swanee's Wrongin'. Who knew Graham Swan does character voices? And it will be Matty Hayden and Mark Waugh's job to guess which character Graham Swan is being coming up. This will be fun.
Well, I thought it was only Junior.
That does character voices.
No, that was on
guess. That's right.
So Junior is not doing any character voices. It's coming up on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden. It is time for Swanee's Wrongin'. What the hell is Swanee's Wrongin'? Well, it's quite simple. His wrongin' is when he delivers a character voice. You've got to try and guess. It's an uncanny skill that this guy has of delivering unique character voices. Now he's going to... These will mainly be cricketers, at least for the first few weeks, Swanee. You'll pretend to be a cricketer, and these boys will try and guess who you are, who you're acting as, right?
Well, that's right. But actually, we're really lucky this week because I don't have to do it because one of the England players, would you believe it, has just walked into the room to do this segment for us.
Oh, that's uncanny.
Oh, he's there.
Wow.
He's actually there.
Would
wow.
you believe it? I'm just going to get him seated. I'm just going to find him a cushion. Hang on. Is this Matthew Hayden and Mark Waugh?
It is,
Matthew
mate.
Matthew Hayden, you're my favourite.
How's your warm milk?
Oh, it's okay. I shouldn't have it yet because it's bedtime later. Mm. And I've got to play in the Ashes soon. Can you believe it? Little old me in Ashes. Ooh.
You're a good player, or what do you reckon?
Well, I'm from a part of England. Well, it's not a part of England. It's its own country called Yorkshire. and so I am brilliant. I'm the dog's bollocks, me.
Who are the Australian players do you not like, or who do you get on well with?
I don't really know that many of them. But I know that my mate Swanee doesn't like one of them because he punched me once in the face. All because I pinched some of his lemonade. Funny though, he was only one at their team who was smaller than me.
Do you feel like you're getting closer here, boys?
I reckon we are, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can lodge a guess at some point in this conversation.
we're just wanting to keep talking. I mean, we don't want him to stop the shit. Keep going, whoever it is. Yorkshireman.
So is this the real Mark War, the one who used to bat and, like, got bounced by Curly Ambrose loads and that and were captain for years and years and years? He was my favourite. He was didn't like his brother, mind. His brother was too flashy. Ooh.
He hit him sweet like a lady, but he didn't have any brains.
What about that Matthew Hayden? He was a bully, wasn't he?
Oh, our ball boy once when he was batting against Matthew Hoggard. Oh, it didn't last long. Oh, but, you know, he was still my favourite.
All right, I'm going to make...
Oh, have a crack, Hayden.
Joe Root. There, Joe Root. There it is.
Okay, the successful answer of Joe Root. It was Joe Root. Wow. I mean, did anyone know what Joe Root actually...
I've never heard him talk before.
See, he's just left the studio.
So Joe's just left. Graham Swan has just taken his chair. Should we have a quick listen to the real Joe Root? I've got a little audio grab of what the real Joe Root sounds like, just to verify that was a good impersonation. Here we go.
Depending on which way the ball's turning, you might favour one side of the wicket. You know, make it as much of a match situation as possible.
Pretty good.
Very good.
Pretty good.
Very entertaining.
Depending on which side of the wicket you might want to, depending on match situation.
He was talking a bit quicker, though, than you, Swanee.
Well, that's because he's just come out of his media training there. He's thick as two short planks in the changing room.
Why? If we're batting first, does that mean I put my pads on?
Swanee's Roman is back same time next week. And coming up next, the boys will share their favourite Ashes moments. Each of you have played plenty of Ashes cricket. It'd be great to get to an Ashes moment from both Junior, Haydos and Swanee. It's coming up on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matty Hayden. It's time for you guys, having played plenty of Ashes cricket as we lead into the first test on Wednesday, to share with us some Ashes moments. We'll start with you, Haydos.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be, for me in this segment, the memories that everyone will necessarily remember. So I'm sort of thinking ahead of this test match, a memory that I had that didn't actually work out that great, and June, you're on the tour in 93, was a moment where we were Michael Slater and I were playing off for the first test. I got the nod in the one days and did rubbish. And then we were starting to play the county games. And in particular, the game that I'm thinking about was Derbyshire, when Devon Malcolm was steaming in, bowling really quick. And
oh, good luck.
G-man, he was really quick as well. You know, he's the absolute heyday.
Yeah, right up there.
So it was kind of Slater-Hayden playoff. And I got out early. And Slats went on, I think, to make 70 or 80 in that warm-up match. And considering where Shane Watson and Mitch Marsh are at right now as well, where you kind of got a bit of a run into a game, sometimes it can actually, as a selector, can, I guess, push you in a certain direction. And in my case, it was shut the gate, and I didn't get another chance at Test cricket really for 6 or 7 years. Michael Slater, you know, went on to be the great player that he was, and I was in the bleachers. That wasn't a great moment, but it was certainly one that I'm looking at now ahead of the series going, wow, this is a big opportunity for a Mitch Marsh or a Shane Watson to either get the nod and play or miss out.
Oh, man, the jeopardy. If Marsh is listening to this, there's a hell of a lot of pressure
on
him.
You're a tough character, though, to come back from that, Haydos.
Well, gave it a nudge, Jumbo. It's Queenslanders, you know.
He did all right, didn't he, as it turned out. Yeah. Swanee, your Ashes moment, I know there'd be so many, but can you think of one for us?
I've got a bit of a tear in my eye after Haydos's, to be honest. I remember Haydos walking off at Derby once and giving a photographer the big V signs and then trying to explain. Oh, I was trying to do like a V for victory sign when it got in the paper. But my one actually comes from the last time we played in Cardiff, and it's one of these little stories that no one will know. One of our physios, Steve McCarg, is an Aussie guy, and he's over and he works for the ECB. He's been there for 15 years. his all-time hero, his boyhood hero, was Ricky Ponting. And you'll remember that test match, Jimmy Anderson and Monty Panesar batting out for ages at the end.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All the kidologists started coming. They were calling for drinks, they were calling for gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Anderson at one point just called for the physio with about 8 minutes left on the clock. Nothing wrong with him. I need physio, please, umps. And so out goes Steve McCargan. We've all said, don't run, whatever you do, stroll out there. And he's quite a big fella, Steve. He needed to lose a few pounds. And as he got out there, Ponting's had enough, and he just turned to him, and I'll take the expletive there. And he said, what the in hell do you think you're doing out here, you fit? And so Steve sort of flapped around with his gloves a bit and then lolled off. And we obviously went on and drew the test match, and we were all celebrating in the change room afterwards, and just looked at poor old Steve. He sat shell-shocked in the corner, head in his hands, going, that guy's my boyhood hero. And he called me a fit. And I'll always remember. But Ricky, to be fair, came in to shake everyone's hand afterwards and shook his hand and patted him on the head, which was a nice touch.
Yeah, good stuff, Swanee. Well, I never played at Cardiff, so I can't even think of a Cardiff Ashes moment, obviously. But I'm going to be boring, and I'm just going to go for the Shane Warne magical ball.
Yep.
In Lancashire, Old Trafford, Swanee, you're a class
whippersnapper,
test match spin bowler. Did you ever bowl a ball as good as Warnie bowled to Gat that day?
There's never been a ball bowled better than that, I don't think. That will go down in the history of all test cricket, considering the occasion and, you know, coming on as a leggy against England's best player spin bowling as well at the time.
Well, that's right. And Gat was always unlucky, wasn't he? Seriously, he always had a story. Yeah. But he was dead set unlucky then. I mean, Warnie just comes on. It's about 13 degrees in Manchester, freezing cold. You know, we've got three jumpers on. A leg spinner can't even feel his fingers. Warnie comes on first ball and just spins one square, pitches outside leg, hits it on top of off, and that was the start of a
legend is born
for Warnie. Exactly.
That's fascinating. Junior, you obviously you were one of the first to go in and join the celebrations when he took that wicket.
Yeah, I ran in. Yeah, yeah. I think we're all.
Where
in
were you fielding? Because you
was
you covers, weren't in the leather lounge.
I reckon I was in covers. Yeah, in the covers.
Wow. So, did you guys
couldn't quite see it from there how good it was.
But. Any sense at the time? Because that is now the most replayed ball in the history of cricket. Did you have any sense at the time? Could you see how far it turned from where you were fielding?
No, not from cover. No, no, you couldn't. I think they might have had the big screens in on the ground, and that's when we saw it. And I mean, Gat didn't want to walk off. He thought, I can't get out to a ball that good.
That's not fair.
He was hanging around, wasn't he?
Hill's expression was a classic as well. Like he obviously was completely baffled as much as what Gat was, but to see it crash into the top of off stump and you see him flapping his around his gloves like Simba.
Yeah, it was amazing. Now it was a loose, it's not like he ripped it out of the fingers, so it must have just come out perfectly, hit right on a certain part of the pitch or on the
it drifted seam. It drifted so far as well, like Warnie used to.
Yeah.
Used to really get the ball to drift as much as spin. Yeah.
It was a bloody fluke, I reckon.
Well, of course, we're looking forward to Ashes moments this time around. We've got the first test starting on Wednesday. We'll come back to wrap things up right here on Willow Talk. It's Willow Talk with Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh and Graham Swan. Well, that's just about it. Let's look back, Byron over here. Let's look back on the show. We started with the chat with Simon Jones, the Welshman. Couldn't understand a word he said, to be honest. Could we, boys?
Swanee could.
I've got the location in my working in my advantage. It's only about an hour away, but still I pick up one in every three words.
I reckon he's the key as well, boys, just looking ahead through this Ashes series. The thing that I will be most looking out for is reverse swing.
No, right. He's retired, Simon Jones.
Yeah. listen for a second, Dopey, okay? No one's interested for 2 hours hearing. Reverse swing's going to play a big role, and I think Australians have got, you know, a very good bowling attack. Mitchell Starc in particular, if he starts to reverse swing the ball, it's look out England top order. And I think for the same as well, you know, guys, for example, like Jimmy Anderson are outstanding at that. So for me, that's a big call, and that's why I was really, you know, keen to hear Jonesy's points.
Right.
Yeah. This new guy, Wood, I think you'll be impressed, both of you, when you actually see him. He's
no,
quick.
I've seen him
and
on telly.
Swings it. Yeah,
we've got TVs over here, Swanee. We've got TVs.
You speak of Mark Wood. Now, Mark Wood is someone we should look out for. I must admit, I am still on Team Junior as to how a former player is the key to this series. I've got to be honest. I'm sorry, Haydos, but I've got to be honest with you, mate.
No, that's okay.
Speaking of Junior, Stump Junior. We had fun there, guys. That was where we tried to stump Mark War with his fairly disappointing cricket trivia knowledge, right?
Oh, hang on.
Better than I thought it'd be.
3 out of 5.
We then had a couple of journos, the Aussie Robert Crash Craddock and Lawrence Booth, and Robert Crash Craddock with his fascinating story about some pie pie that nobody's ever
Wurbleberry
heard of.
Wurbleberry pie.
Wurbleberry? Yeah. Wurbleberry. Is that a worm or a berry?
Really appreciate that.
A combination.
Wortleberry.
Oh, Wortle.
The Wortleberry.
The Wortleberry pie. Yeah, that's a very one of the most forgettable stories in the history of radio. And then, of course, it was Swanee's Wrongen, where Swanee put on a character voice of Joe Root. Can Joe just quickly make a brief appearance again on the show, please, Swanee?
I'll see if we'll come back. Hiya, you all right? I've got to go to Nets now. See you, mate.
Thanks. Okay. See you, mate.
Next week, he will play another character and Haydos
and
Junior.
Practice your hook shot, Jumbo.
The player we're most looking forward to hearing from is Kevin Peterson, but that's one for another day. All right, that's it. First test. Quick predictions, guys. Just a result, please. Starting with you, Swanee. First test starts Wednesday.
England win by 7 wickets.
That's great.
Junior?
I can't come with that one. No, I think Cardiff will suit England probably better than a few of the venues, but I think Australia too strong.
All right, Matty?
Yeah, Australia too strong. I'm not going to say by 7 wickets for sure, but Australia too strong.
All right, great. We'll lock those
copied
in.
Copied me.
And we are back. Stop arguing. The show's over. We are back this time next week on Willow Talk.